Last week, an unexpected cold front slammed most of the East Coast. In Georgia, that was bad news for fruit farmers. Peach and blueberry farmers stand to lose millions of dollars in this late freeze, but something good might come out of it, or as a result of it. Researchers at the University of Georgia have developed an equation that they say will help combat that loss. With me now is one of the researchers, Pam Knox, an agricultural climatologist at the University of Georgia. Hi, Pam.
Good morning, Celeste.
And also joining us by phone is Joe Cornelius, chair of the Georgia Blueberry Commission. Good to have you back, Joe.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Joe, why is a frost like this, why is it so potentially devastating for farmers?
Well, the blooms on the plants and the fruit that's done drop blooms are very tender. It doesn't take but like 31 and a half degrees, or even a frost on an open bloom can damage it and cause it to be unattractive to bees for pollination.
And Pam, one of the reasons why UGA was looking at this was because of the loss in dollars. But what are the sort of the starting points when you begin something like this to say, how can we make a late frost not quite so awful for farmers? What are the things, what are the basis for where you begin?
Well, farmers are looking for ways to try to keep the temperatures up to a more reasonable level so that they don't have damage to the blooms. There's a number of ways that they can do that. One of the most common is irrigation of the fields, for example, blueberry fields. But some other farmers can also use big fans, or they can hire helicopters to come in and stir up the air from higher levels, which is usually warmer than near the ground.
And Joe, how does that work? The irrigation, one would think that if you were putting water on crops and it got really cold, that the plants would freeze. How does the irrigation help?
They actually do freeze, but once you cause ice to completely go around the fruit or the bush, then the temperature in there stays at 31.5. It's, the science of releasing BTUs while the ice is forming. It's kind of above my head. Miss Pam, I could describe more of that part of it. The wind machines and the helicopters, you need the conditions right. I mean, you need an inversion layer, which we lost during the night, Wednesday night, Thursday morning. And the temperatures need to stay within each type of tool to combat frost has its parameters. Wind machines and helicopters is probably in the 27 to 29 range with an inversion layer. A lot of fields in South Georgia went to the mid-20s, 23 to 25 degrees. And water is the only overhead solid set irrigation is the only answer for that. And at 23 degrees, you're getting to the edge of the envelope of what it can do.
A BTU, I want to make sure we don't lose our listeners here. A BTU is is British thermal unit. It's just a unit of heat. And I believe, although Pam can correct me, I think it is the amount of heat that's required to raise 1 pound of water 1 degree Fahrenheit. Is that right, Pam?
I believe that's right.
Okay. So one of the big points of your research in coming up with this equation is dew point. Pam, can you explain what dew point is and how it relates to this problem?
Well, there's actually a couple different measures. The one that we're looking at most is wet bulb temperature, not dew point.
Wet bulb. I want to make sure everyone gets that. The wet bulb is what, right?
Well, let me explain the difference between the two. You have your regular air temperature, which is just the ambient air temperature that's measured with the thermometer. And then there's two different measurements that take into account the humidity in the atmosphere. The dew point temperature is the temperature. If you took a glass of water and put ice in it and you started to see dew form on the outside of that glass, that would help you to measure the dew point temperature. Although more typically for meteorologists, they measure it with a chilled mirror. And when the mirror doesn't start reflecting the light anymore because there's little drops of water on it, then that's how they measure the dew point. The wet bulb is between the ambient air temperature and the dew point temperature. And the wet bulb temperature is the temperature that you usually feel, for example, if you just took a shower and you jump out and you start to feel that coolness on your skin. So the water is evaporating off your skin and it's cooling off your surface. And the wet bulb temperature is the one that's usually used to help determine when to turn on the irrigation for frost protection.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Pam Knox, an agricultural climatologist at UGA, and they have come up with an equation that might help protect crops against a late freeze. We also have Joel Cornelius with us, chair of the Georgia Blueberry Commission. Pam, this equation attempts to predict the weather, though, right?
No, it takes predictions from the National Weather Service. It tries to make it easier to use for farmers. When you look at weather predictions, typically you'll get the temperature and the dew point temperature, but you will not get the wet bulb temperature. And since the wet bulb temperature is what you really need to start turning on your irrigation, the equation is designed to take that temperature and the dew point temperature to calculate the wet bulb and then allow the farmers to start their irrigation when it's the most efficient.
Joe, how much of a help could this be if you know in advance what time to start your irrigation in order to protect your crops? How big a help is that?
It can be very helpful. I mean, it cuts down on cost and how much water you're actually putting in the field. I mean, this time of the year, the plants doesn't need as much water as you can put out in one night's frost protection. You create other issues when you just run it for hours on end and really don't need to.
Pam, has this been used by farmers yet? Do you know how effective it has been in the fields?
The equation was just published a few weeks ago, so we haven't had a lot of real field experience yet. I have been working with Renee Allen down in Alma, Georgia, to try to figure out a way to make it more operational. But that's going to be my goal in the next year.
To try and test it out.
Exactly.
And see whether you need to tweak it or not.
Yeah,
right?
And hopefully we'll put it, if we can, we're going to try to put it in the form of an app that people will be able to get on their smartphone.
Joe, what kind of things, I mean, how much do farmers do you think stand to lose, or how much could you lose if the late frost actually, you know, kills off your blueberry crop?
A good bit. I'm looking at 125-30 acres. It is somewhere between 60 and 90% reduction. Well,
besides, let's say that this equation works exactly the way Pam and her colleagues hope that it does, and that you now have advance notice of when to turn your irrigation to protect your crops. Could that save your entire fields in the future?
Well, it can. The more information you have before you get into an event, the better judgment calls you can make. I mean, people that rented helicopters and had them over their fields, and the fields still ambient temperature went to 23, 24 degrees with no inversion layer, well, they spent, you know, $600-$700 an hour that gained them nothing. So it's more information you have, the better calls you can make before you get to it.
And can you help me understand why this particular freeze is so potentially damaging? The temperatures at this point are higher than normal, and March isn't a really unusual time to have the kind of cold temperatures. So why are farmers so worried right now about this freeze?
We've had such a warm February that the plants has really advanced, and it's like Ms. Pam said, at certain stages of development, the plants are hardy to certain coldness. Full open bloom is, you know, 27, 28 degrees. You get below 28 and you've pretty much lost everything that's open or fruit formed. If you get to, you know, 25, then you've lost a good bit of your elongated that's not quite open. So, I mean, if we'd have been the plants that have been where we traditionally see our later crops at, they wouldn't have been as damaged as they have been.
Pam, what other questions do you have as we move forward to actually testing this equation in the field to see if it works? What questions do you have that need to be answered?
Well, I think we need to keep in mind that irrigation or other kinds of frost protection is not always going to work. If the air is really, really dry, then even irrigation is not going to keep the temperature at an appropriate point, because you just have to put so much water on that it's going to ice up the plants and cause a lot of damage. So it will also help farmers to identify when it's probably not worth it to do that. I mean, this year's frost was later than we might have expected because it was so warm over the winter, but it really was just about an average time of year for a last frost. So it wasn't that unexpected, but I think it really will help us in terms of trying to decide what's the optimum time to irrigate if you're going to, and maybe when it's not appropriate to do it.
And what other tools, Joe, do you think farmers, especially those in Georgia, need? You know, besides an equation like this, what else could farmers use?
Well, I mean, each farmer needs to understand what's going on in his field. And, you know, you'll have fields that has cold pockets in it, some fields that will stay 2 or 3 degrees above, you know, the low points. So, you know, each individual field and each individual farmer needs to understand what's going on in his field.
What's the worst case scenario here, Joe?
The worst case right now would be 80-90% loss of our late May, June crop. We're still assessing. I mean, this thing happened, you know, we actually had a frost Friday morning last week, so we're still trying to calculate what's happened, how bad it's happened.
When will you know?
Probably by the end of this week, you'll be able to really start counting on what's there or not there. Even if the bloom is still there, say it was an elongated bloom that wasn't damaged by frost, that doesn't mean part of the internal parts of the berry itself was not damaged. So, you know, even if your field right now looks like you've only had a 40% loss, you can still have, you know, another 10, 15, 18% fall off.
And because Georgia, I think, is still the largest producer of blueberries in the country, that could mean a higher price for our blue fruit.
It could. It could change and help the industry that way, yes, ma'am.
That is George Cornelius. He's chair of the Georgia Blueberry Commission. We also spoke with Pam Knox, an agricultural climatologist at the University of Georgia. She helped develop an equation that hopes to fight the loss of blueberry crops following a late freeze like we had. Joe and Pam, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Welcome.